Welcome, everybody. Shin number 1306. We're learning today, Lila Nishmas Moshe Doiv Ben Rabaran Zizel. Lila Nishmas, Blima Basra Moshe and Lufu Shalem Avraham Ben Chaya. Getting back to our malacha of Merakid sifting. Okay, so just want to read beautiful new sefer, actually, that came out, Zacha V'Shamer. It's actually a reprint from Rav Pesach Elio Falk. They reprinted this the sefer called Zacha V'Shamer. It's in four volumes, very, very beautiful in English, with my Mekaymisa on the bottom. And they mamish have all of the Lamentes Malacha. So I want to try and go a little bit from there, on Merakid. They explain very beautiful. So they say like this on page 9, actually, in the Malacha of Merakid. In the Malacha Merakid, he says like this on number C, but he says the Malacha Merakid sifting applies regardless of whether the psoilus strains from the sieve, which we've spoken about, whether the stuff you don't want, the psoilus strains from the sieve, from the strainer, as occurs when, for example, in other words, whether the psoilus runs out or the food runs out, but be it as it may, he just brings down some examples in cases where the psoilus, the stuff you don't want, is draining out. And he says, occurs, for example, somebody uses a strainer and they're straining out lakshan, they're straining out noodles, or possibly somebody uses a strainer and they're straining out coleslaw, possibly cooked rice. It was all cooked before Shabbos, but now they're straining it out and the water runs off. That's the example he's bringing over here. The water's running off. So that's a case whereby the psoilus, the stuff you don't want, is coming out of the strainer, coming out of the sieve, and the stuff you do want stays in, right? Or he explains further, of the oichel, the stuff you do want, right, the oichel falls out, leaving the impurities in the sieve, as occurs when sifting. For example, he gives some examples, so we can have a better understanding. For example, flour, or filtering wine to remove impurities from the wine also. In other words, the wine comes out and the impurities stay in the strainer. The flour comes out and the chunks of flour, the parts of the flour that you don't want, stays in the strainer. So over there you have the oichel, you have the stuff you do want coming out. So either way, that's the point over there. Either way, similarly to sift sand, he says, another example, to sift sand for sand muksa. We're not going to get into that right now as far as the muksa part of it, but assuming for whatever the reason is somebody sifts with a strainer sand, the part that's much worse is merakid, right? Our malacha, so it's to sift sand. In order to find an article lost in it. Another, let's say somebody lost something in the sand, right? They'll say, well, grab a strainer and let's strain it out and we'll find the ring or whatever it is that was, you know, lost in the sand. So you can't do that. So that's what he explains. To sift sand in order to find an article lost in it, in which case the unwanted matter, filters through the sieve, right? The sand comes through the sieve, and to sift, or for example, to sift powder, used for dyeing, in which case the fine wanted matter comes through the sieve also. So be it as it may, these are all various different examples on Merakid sifting. He brings down for whatever it is from the Mishnah Berurah in the introduction over there, Aruch HaShulchan and so on. But these are various different cases of Merakid, and it doesn't matter, like we said, whether you're doing it this way or that way, but it runs under the Malacha of Merakid sifting. Okay, he goes on to explain another interesting thing, does it say for Zacha V'Shamer on page 10. He says, interesting, the distinction, when do we find Merakid that's a deraisa, and when do we say it's a derabbanan? So he says like this, interesting, it's really academic, but we do want to know a distinction, we want to understand the malacha. He says like this, if the impurities are very disturbing, let's say a person has flour, right, for example. So if the impurities are very disturbing and most people would refrain from using the flour, this type of flour with these impurities inside of it, as long as the impurities are in it, people would not use it. So even with no alternative flour is available, let's say there's nothing else, but I'm not using this flour, for example, right? So he says, then the impure flour is considered a true mixture of good and bad, and to separate one from the other would be merakid min ha-Torah. So if you have flour, whereby whatever's in the flour, be it hard pieces, whatever the case is, but people are not going to use it, then that mamish, that merakid, that sifting is mamish min ha-Torah. That would be osam ederaisa. However, if he goes on to explain further, however, if the impurities are moderately disturbing, and although in the first instance most people would sieve the flour, although in the first instance most people would sieve the flour, in other words, if they have this type of flour, Noah, in the second case, right? People would strain it out to remove the impurities that are on it. They would nevertheless use the flour if it's in an unsieved state, if they could not obtain or strain a more suitable flour. In other words, if this is all they have, listen, what am I going to do? This is all I have, so I'll use it, fine. I'd rather use something else. I'll strain it up. I don't have a strainer. Let's say during the week. We're talking about during the week, obviously. Let's say during the week, I don't have a strainer. I don't have other flour, so I'll use it, fine. So then that would be Merakid Midrabbanan, he explains. That would be the sifting. The sifting would be Asa Midrabbanan. Still, obviously, he can't do it, but it will be Asa Midrabbanan. In the case above, what we spoke about, it's nobody's using that flour, right? Unless it's strained out. So that would be Aser Min HaTorah. That's how he explains it. Okay, so that's basically the story on that. He starts off with some examples of Merakid sifting, which we want to start to go through, some practical applications. So first of all, this is all on page 10. He brings to sift flour, like we spoke about, either in order to remove impurities from it or in order to separate the fine flour from the much coarser flour, right? The latter, this would be a perfect example of Merakid sifting. The latter is, however, only Asa Midrabbanan, because both types of flour are basically one and the same, and people might use it. Okay, but again, be it as it may, we have sometimes Rabbanan, sometimes Midrashah, depending on how Makbid people will be in general. And just to understand, by the way, the case Midrabbanan that we said, the second case, the flour, you're separating fine flour from the much coarser flour. So really, it's all sort of like usable flour, but since you're separating it and it is used for different purposes, whatever the case might be, so we would be Aser Midrabbanan. In the first case, to sift the flour in order to remove impurities, things which people mamish won't use, so there we're talking about Mina Torah. Okay, so just another interesting case. It says to sift walnuts, for example, somebody takes a sieve, a strainer, and they're sifting out walnuts, nut flakes, sunflower seeds with the nuts and so on. These are all, whatever the case is, with the walnuts, the nut flakes. It's mixed up with shells or whatever they were, these various different type of things, which are surrounded by more powdery matter than is usual. Let's say they're ground up, possibly, in order to separate the powder from the rest of the nuts. Let's say in a case whereby it's ground up. In a regular case, where they're thicker, it's not really going to work, a strainer. But in case whereby it's powder, so then there's, let's say, ground up walnuts and these type of things. So to separate the powder from the rest of the nuts, and maybe the pieces of nuts or something along those lines. So again, this will be a perfect example of Merakid straining. It just brings a person, why would a person be doing this? They may wish to do so to improve the appearance of the nuts or to closely observe the powder for any possible movement, which is a sign of possible mite infestation or the like. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Now he brings down a couple of there is a machlokes as to what exactly is the bottom line, the distinction between Merakid and Bar. We're not going to get into it right now. Some want to say, like we said, it's just straight up, you're using a strainer. Once you use a strainer, that's Merakid, finish. Others want to say even with a strainer, it could be possibly still maybe Barer, but when it's done with a up and down type of emotion, shaking type of emotion, that would be more like Merakid sifting. But be it as it may, it's really at this point, it's in either case, like he says, in either case, we still say you're dealing with Merakid or Barer. But be it as it may, both of them are also whether Minatoira or Midrabbanan. Okay, in any case, we're going to stop now. We'll continue next time. Thank you for listening. Aslachem Bracha. Cold too.